Hello there, and thank you for joining us here on Community Talk. I'm Donnie Chase, joined in the studio today, good friend of mine. Always fun to talk to you, Jennifer. It's so nice to see you. Jennifer Hayden from the National Nuclear Science Museum Atomic. Yeah. Tell me the whole title.
Yes, it's so long. National Museum of Nuclear Science and History.
All right.
Yes.
Well, we have such a huge resource of that right here in New Mexico.
We
it's
do.
So great that we have this museum, which is, it's really hands-on. You know, I was talking to some friends about it the other day because they were, you know, looking for places to take their kids, which I think are like, you know, like 4 and 5, and they're looking for hands-on.
Perfect.
And I mentioned you guys because you have both. You have the exhibits that you just kind of watch and look at, but you also have those hands-on exhibits back in there. And it's all STEM, right? Science, technology, engineering and math.
It is. It truly is. And I have actually two little boys that it's funny. They always joke that mom works at the airplane store.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not. Oh, no. Let's at least say museum. But it's really cute. We do have something for everyone. And we have a children's area, Little Owl's Lab. So Albert Einstein.
Oh, my gosh.
So very much sciencey, different types of things, very hands-on engaging. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the airplanes that we have in our 9-acre outdoor exhibit area.
Yeah.
You really can't walk up to aircraft, just walk right up to it, stand under it, see how huge it is anywhere else in New Mexico.
No, you really can't.
So it is, we're big on STEM education, everything that we do. And of course, history. I mean, we're the History and Science Museum as well for nuclear. But it's it just tells the story of the atomic age, which so much of that is science.
It's
sure.
all science,
yeah,
right? It's very cool. And so if you have one of these kids, even if you think your kid may not be too much into that,
yeah.
And by the way, it's not just kids. I mean,
no.
You walk out there into where all the airplanes are and part of the submarine.
Yes, the submarine sail, which people always say, they're like, is the rest of the submarine under the ground? I'm like, no, that would be very cool, though.
I went there believing that it was.
I know. It would be cool.
I had no idea. I was like, man, they must have really dug a huge hole
here.
And I was wondering like how I missed it. I was like, how did this entire town miss it? I mean, you would think that that would be on the news
or
something.
It would have been on the news, yes.
Yeah, because, I mean, but you just walk up to that sail of the submarine.
Yes.
Or you walk underneath the wings, walk up to and touch these planes. How many do you have out there?
Oh, my God. Of course you're going to ask me that one.
Well,
I'm not
it's
really,
a lot.
I mean,
it's a lot.
We do have a lot of airplanes.
Yeah.
And it's funny. When I usually, come around and, you know, do interviews with you and everything, it's so much fun. But we're usually focusing on like one of the big aircrafts as far as like restoring it.
Oh,
because,
that's right.
I mean, this is our outdoor 9-acre area and all of these airplanes are getting hit with the New Mexico sun and wind and they're just really deteriorating. So we, over the past few years, since 2014, we've restored an F-16 jet.
Uh-huh.
We were able to restore the James K. Polk submarine sail. So we have that one.
Yeah, and so that is restored. And I think the last time you were here, we talked about the one you just mentioned right before that.
Yes.
The whole restoration project.
The whole restoration project.
Yeah.
We did, last year, we restored the B-52B Stratofortress, the biggest airplane that we have.
Oh, my goodness.
And the year before that, it was the B-29 Superfortress.
Uh-huh.
So this year, of course, they're like, well, since we've done these big airplanes, we're going to focus on two this year. I'm like, of course we are. Okay, yay! But we are going to restore two of the smaller jets this year, the A-7 and the F-105.
That's fun.
So that's something that we're going to come up, and hopefully over the next couple of years, all of the airplanes, the missiles, the military vehicles, those don't need to be restored, but everything else will be fully restored to where when visitors walk in to Heritage Park, it's just almost new again, these pieces of history.
And that is really true. I mean, at one point, they are pieces of history, and they served in our military branches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a story. And don't you have like one of the taco planes there?
That was, our F-16 Fighting Falcons. So that was the tacos.
Yeah.
And that was actually our first aircraft to be restored in 2014. And that, it's Albuquerque's airplane.
Yes, it is.
I mean, so much, even the B-29 is as well, and the B-52, but that is, I mean, it's the tacos. It has the tail insignia. It's really cool. Yeah.
It is really cool. And it's a nice little, just a piece of our own personal history. Just wrapped into whole what it meant for the nation and the world.
So. Well, exactly. In our museum, I mean, we're the nuclear museum, so we're America's resource for nuclear science and history. But so much of that, the atomic age, started in Los Alamos. Uh-huh. I mean, it's the Manhattan Project. This is where it really came about. So it is it's so much New Mexico's history, which is really cool.
And very unique to us. And it kind of gives us, I mean, New Mexico is a very unique state.
Truly.
We have all kinds of things here that you're not going to find anywhere else. Right. And, you know, that atomic history, I mean, that's a big one.
It is.
It really is. Mm-hmm. So what is going on over at the Nuclear Museum this summer?
Okay.
And leading up to the summer.
All kinds of things. I mean, we always have something going on. There is, right now, we have a special exhibit that, again, is very New Mexico. We have, it's called Critical Assembly. Mm-hmm. It's a very long name. So it's a Critical Assembly, The Secrets of Los Alamos, 1944. It's a very famous, worldwide known sculptor. His name is Jim Sanborn. He actually created the sculpture that sits outside of CIA headquarters in Langley.
Goodness.
It's called Cryptos.
Really?
He is, again, a world-renowned sculptor. He made this, our temporary exhibit hall is completely filled with different sculptures that's like a tableau of what a laboratory looked like in Los Alamos during, you know, the creation of the first atomic bomb.
Oh, that'd be neat.
So that's very much us. It's a very beautiful, it's very science meets art.
Okay.
So that's super cool, and it's running now through October. So
got plenty of time to get out there, but don't just put it off. I mean, you really got to get out there.
It's amazing, and considering who the sculptor is, I mean, he's just so well known, and for us to be able to display this is really incredible.
Uh-huh.
We're very happy about that.
Yeah.
For all the families and things, we have, of course, camps. That is one of our biggest things. Science is everywhere. Camps. So we follow APS's schedules for spring break, summer. We do things like Martin Luther King Jr. Day camp, President's Day, Veterans Day, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
But coming up, we have spring camps that are day-long camps that are really cool. I mean, it just kind of depends on what you're looking for, but they're ages 6 to 12 years old.
Okay.
And kiddos, parents can put their kids in things like it's Get Glowing or Back in Time with Tim.
That sounds really cool.
They're fun, exciting things that are all very science, technology, engineering, and mathematics.
Does Back in Time have anything to do with like time travel?
Yes.
It does.
Really? Like time travel things.
That's what
I asked him. He's one of our education coordinators. I was like, so what are we going to be using the DeLorean that we have on display?
Okay. a good segue into that, because from Back to the Future.
We do have that. See, I mean, there's so many things on display at our museum that in the summer, in June, we always do an outdoor movie night.
So
we have one coming up in June, on June 17th. We haven't picked the movie yet, but a couple of years ago, we showed Back to the Future, and we had someone donate their DeLorean to the museum. So we actually have that in atomic pop culture. But just all
that's
kinds of
quite
stuff.
The generous donation.
We get acquisition. Yeah, it's, I mean, some of the donations that we get are amazing,
yeah,
for sure.
And that one is. I've seen that, and it's really cool
it's
to see.
Super cool.
I mean, cool to see a DeLorean.
I know.
You know,
we remember when
we were kids, and it was like, wow.
I know. Oh my gosh,
oh my
with the doors
yes,
and everything.
Yes, 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 yes.
We had some interns make the, what's it called? The, oh gosh, I totally lost my words. The thing that actually brought it back in time. Our interns made the thing that looked like a Y or the upside down Y,
I wish I could help.
Flux
you.
Flux capacitor.
Yeah, the flux capacitor. That's exactly what it is. I would not know until you say it, and I was like, okay,
yes, that's
I've
exactly
heard it a million
so
times.
They made
the flux
that just
capacitor.
To be weird. But we do. I mean, some of the other camps, it's Face the Music, Science Star, Code of the Robot. We do. I mean, it's a lot of things that kids make. They create things. They learn about things. It's follow through from beginning to end of just different types of science at
our
camps.
Oh, that's cool.
It is cool. It's very, very cool.
And they're learning science, and the whole STEM thing, you know, mm-hmm. science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, they're learning it, but it's really fun. You know, maybe they don't quite realize it. It doesn't feel like they're sitting down to, you know, a lesson.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's something that we focus on. Mm-hmm. We're not, I mean, these are great learning experiences, but it's a different experience. They're not in school right now, so it's as engaging and fun as possible, which of course school is too, but it's different.
I
mean, you're coming
it's
to
really
a museum
different.
And we're going to learn some things that you might not learn otherwise.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then of course the things that they are learning in school, kind of puts it into action there at the museum.
Sure. Yes.
Do you feel like some of these programs, if there's some kids out there that maybe are not not really getting into the STEM, because, you know, everybody's brain's different. And sometimes
Absolutely.
That's just the side that you're not really going to pay attention to. But those kids are going into the history and the arts and stuff.
Yeah.
But can any of the programs there that you have at the museum kind of get a kid inspired to learn those subjects?
Absolutely. I mean, that's something I do gravitate more towards literature, history, things
yeah.
like that. I have a theater background.
Oh, yeah.
And it's funny, when we have our education staff, we have a lot of theater background, arts backgrounds, things
oh, really?
Like that, where people say, oh, you work at the nuclear museum, are you a scientist? And no, not necessarily. I mean, we all come from varying backgrounds. And because of that, because of who we have on staff, volunteers, we try to incorporate that I know that there are some coming up over summertime where it literally is bringing out the more artistic side to kids.
Oh, cool.
So as a part, instead of STEM necessarily, it's also STEAM. So science,
oh.
technology, engineering, art, and mathematics.
Oh, that's really cool.
So we, yeah,
that's
STEAM
nice.
Is really big for us, especially with our education department, because
mm-hmm.
we want the kids to have all of the different types. Even back in time with Tim, I mean, that's learning the history.
I would think so, yeah.
Aspects. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I know there are different things that even over summer camp, those are week-long camps, we have some like DIY disasters.
Oh, really?
I mean, there's something for everyone, for the young girls, for the boys, for anybody.
For anybody.
Anybody.
And you said, what are the ages for your camps again?
Okay. Usually they are 6 to 12 years old. Mm-hmm. And even summer camp, it's 6 to 12, but we do have one camp for 13 to 15 years old.
Okay, cool.
So that's available. But it's pretty much the gamut. We, you know, it's the sometimes elementary, sometimes middle schoolers. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And we
yeah.
do field trips all the time. Any schools, charter schools, APS, anybody who wants to come into the museum, we have something for everybody.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun,
yeah.
you know, right there to host the schools, to get a field trip in there.
Uh-huh.
So there's a good amount of school left a little bit, right, through
uh-huh.
May. So if there's a class out there that wants to do a field trip, do they know how to get a hold of you and stuff? Is there this whole process that the schools go through?
There is, as far as through the museum, just even going to nuclearmuseum.org,
uh-huh.
and you're able to go through group tours and just speaking with one individual at our museum. Her name is Betsy. She's
okay.
fabulous. She is able to go over all of the different types of programs that we provide when students come in.
Okay.
So we have days where we have a special week in February, Discover STEM Week, and we hosted over 1,000 students that week, around 200, give or take, every day, Monday
yeah,
through Friday.
I remember when you did that last time. Are you doing it again?
We did,
okay.
yes. It,
just,
it was
okay.
very,
just
very popular. We do it in October as
okay.
well.
All right.
But it's other than that, it's just the schools, the teachers, whomever is planning the field trips, they contact the museum, we put mm-hmm. them to the right person, and then they decide the best program for them and set up the date. It's
oh,
easy.
That yeah. is so easy. That's good. And it's nice of you guys to get the kids in there and work, you know, everybody working together.
Absolutely.
So what to do if you want to explore the different types of programs, and how do you get involved with them?
Oh, gosh. With those, I mean, again, just going to our website at nuclearmuseum.org, all of it's even listed on there, but just contacting the museum. We will always put people in touch with the right person.
Yeah.
And just learning about it. I mean, those, again, focus on very much science or history. And there have even been times, say a school group comes in, we have a lot of volunteers at the museum, that many of whom are like retired from Sandia National Laboratories, or they're retired veterans, or they're veterans. I mean, all of these people who have lived in these incredible times in history, they were scientists, they were engineers, or are, but just
yeah,
retired
yeah.
from it. And so we have people like that, or even our museum curator, our museum executive director. Even I've gone out there to really engage the groups, to teach them different things and just do engaging, like, hands-on experiences.
Just like show them the museum and stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Even just a tour is fun. I mean, you walk around, you can see the airplanes, all of the different exhibits. It's a good time.
It is a really good time.
Yeah.
Like, and then is there anything new? Are you guys still, like, you know, one of my favorite things that you have there is the traffic engineering where you kind of like you build up a city in a way.
Oh, yes.
For the streets, the lights, the water, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It is very cool. That's hands-on.
That was super hands-on. That actually was one of our special exhibits. And so that is no longer there, but that's when we bring in the other special exhibits and we try to revamp.
Yeah.
We actually just had a total redesign for our uranium exhibit. Which,
oh, what's that?
It doesn't sound exactly like the most, woo, uranium, woo.
It's super exciting. I don't know. It sounds kind of exciting to me.
But. We worked with a sponsor, Urenco USA, and they came in with their college interns, and they had like a competition to figure out what would the best redesign for this exhibit be. So they had a competition with these college students, and since then, we have redesigned with the winning interns, and it's now uranium, enriching your future. So it's, again, this is an area that's a lot more engaging, a lot more hands-on. It's interesting to everybody around, teaching you about uranium, about, you know, nuclear fuel, and how we are involved with energy in the future and everything like that.
And I mean, I do find that to be very kind of interesting, because you bring into the equation, you know, some of the stuff that's in the news now. You also talk about just the environment.
Absolutely.
You know, and I mean, we have some resources, but you know, they're not going to be there forever, right? You know,
right.
So whatever kind of, you know, technology, but then, you know, you get all these, you know, so it's fun. It's fun that you cover all those different aspects.
It does. And we actually, our museum, we are kind of the host for this international celebration week of nuclear science. It's called Nuclear Science Week.
Okay.
It's always the third week in October, but it is, I mean, it does take place all over the world now, Canada, the UK, it was in Australia, just all different, the United Arab Emirates, all these different places. But in the United States, we really focus on nuclear energy. There's a big event all over the nation every year. And it is something that it's just providing facts and a little bit more information about what nuclear looks like for energy, for different aspects, nuclear medicine. Just giving the facts and telling people, you know, this is information. If you'd like to have it, absolutely, it's here. And just telling them what we are as nuclear.
So nuclear medicine, like I could be completely wrong on this, but I think they're already, at least I thought I saw something, they're already kind of doing that with chemo and stuff, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And that we even have a very large permanent exhibition area that's nuclear medicine.
Oh, really?
Because it is something we always, when people ask me, you know, just tell me real quick, what is the nuclear museum? We tell the story of the atomic age from early development, from the Manhattan Project and Cold War, to today's peaceful uses of nuclear technology.
See, that's so important. Because when you hear it right away, you think of the bad stuff, right?
It is. I mean, yeah.
And then the bad that it could do, but there's some good stuff there too.
Very, very. I mean, medically, energy-wise, all kinds of things. And that is something that when we have students come into the museum, and if I say, you know, what's the first thing you think of? When you hear nuclear, oftentimes it is weapons. And we do, because we are history, we do show that, you know, this was part of our history, the Cold War, the weapons, these things, this did happen, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Yeah. We tell the story as how it was. But there are also different aspects of nuclear too, especially now, that are peaceful and very useful.
Yeah. Sure. Hopefully we'll get there. Hopefully, you know, we'll get there and it'll be wonderful. And would that be free energy?
Oh, gosh.
Like, would we do away with our electric bill if that happened?
You know, I've gone to so many of these little seminars and everything. I don't know if it would be that, but it would be economical for sure, and a much smaller carbon footprint is what I've learned. I mean, and these are from organizations that's what they do. You know, Duke Energy. I'm talking a lot of the East Coast areas is where we've gone a lot to see some of the nuclear power plants and things. And they take it very seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, I don't think I've ever been so engulfed in safety before as I am when I'm in like the nuclear industry, learning about what they do, because I'm more museum industry. I work for the museum, but it's very much of who we are.
So what's that like a little bit when you go to these places that are studying it and trying to develop?
Oh,
what's that experience like walking in there?
It is truly one of the, safety is first and foremost, period.
Thank goodness.
Absolutely. I mean, that is something that, and these people are, I I'm assuming in all different industries, they're very passionate about what they do.
Uh-huh.
So it is the public, the community at large, they are absolutely top priority all the time.
Oh, good.
But it is something, it's expensive to develop, of course.
Yeah.
And there is, I mean, because of different issues from the past and what people hear and things, nuclear is, it's something that isn't always the most embraced with open arms.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So it's just, you know, at the museum, we're an educational institution. Mm-hmm. We provide the story, you know, is balanced as possible. These are the facts.
Yeah.
We're a place to learn, think, imagine, and most importantly, draw your own conclusions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's why we, you know, we're kind of the gateway to nuclear is okay. what we say.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you kind of are. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so maybe people could go in there and, you know, if we see some of these better changes in the future, maybe it'll be more embraced.
Absolutely.
Right? Yes. Well, so that's, we are kind of getting close to the end. We still got a few more minutes.
Yeah.
But I would, so what else is happening out there at the museum for the just kind of the springtime and then getting on into summer?
Well, this is fun. And I try to promote it. Of course, I'm marketing, but this is something cool about our museum that not a lot of people know about.
Okay.
So just because our facility is very, very unique. So people oftentimes don't think of a museum or ours specifically when they think of, you know what, I'm planning a party or a meeting or weddings even. Like, we've had wedding receptions at our museum.
You know what? Like, I love to, when you said that, I was like, well, what kind of, I love to watch the Big Bang show.
Yes,
the Big
Bang Theory.
Too. I love that. So, you know, all the, I could see some scientists and some folks, you know, like getting married at the museum.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, we have that. We have a lot of, like, you know, even from the Air Force, promotion ceremonies, retirement parties. We have meetings. I mean, we have really good facilities for daytime meetings, very corporate. Mm-hmm. To our, when you walk into the museum, anyone who's been to the museum, they're greeted with this huge periodic table of elements on the floor. And the ceilings are black. It is just this amazing, it has this amazing ambiance. And even at night, when it's dark outside, it's such a beautiful venue, very open layout, that we have a full-time events coordinator who's fabulous, to where she works with people to come in and rent our facility to hold anything from a birthday party to a wedding. Wow. So it really is meetings, anything.
Well, you know, I think that would be really kind of cool because Well, they're doing their job, but then they take some breaks and kind of walk around and, you know, check out the museum. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a job that goes along with science and technology.
Oh,
it could
no.
be just anything.
Oh, gosh, not at all. And some of the, we have a lot of people who come in that are technology companies for whatever, you know, and it is, that is one of the biggest draws is, especially if it's daytime or nighttime, the museum is open to all of the visitors.
Oh, cool.
So any guest that does attend, I mean, if you do take a break, walk around, go look at some airplanes,
yeah.
go shop in our museum gift store, which is awesome. We have some
of
that stuff.
You know, I am sitting here thinking a few minutes ago, I'm still using this coffee mug that you gave me. We were out there, you know, doing a morning show broadcast. Mm-hmm. You gave everybody coffee mugs.
Oh, yes.
Well, I got two. And I still have both of them. And they're really, they're two of my more quality mugs.
Oh, yes. That is something.
They're good stuff.
Our store, and we try really hard, you know, our store purchaser, she loves, you know, things made in the United States, just very local, if we can do that. It's
Absolutely.
Very important. Important to us.
Yeah.
And all of the things, again, I have two little boys that when Christmas rolls around, I do a lot of my shopping in the museum store.
I can see that. And I have a nephew that I want to get him some stuff. And like, you got some cool things
we
in
do.
There, some educational toys. You
Absolutely.
Got some, you know, there was a picture of Einstein that I just thought was pretty awesome. You know,
posters. We have
posters.
Neckties. There are all kinds of things. Yes.
All kinds of stuff with him.
Yes.
On it. Yeah. Well, so I just, I guess kind of touch base again to let folks know where they can go to get all the information they need about all the stuff, and especially for the programs, because, you know, I mean, we're you know, the beginning of March now, but they fill up fast, don't they?
Absolutely. Yeah. All of our camps do. We have spring break camp coming up the 20th through the 24th of March.
Okay.
And then summer camp is May 30th through August 11th.
That'll be here before you know it.
It truly is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's time to get in. Everything is online. So registration is online. I'm the one who works on our website. So I try to keep every event and program completely up to date. It's very user friendly.
Yeah.
But just nuclearmuseum.org will pretty much take you wherever you need to to go, or just by calling, we will get you to the right person.
All right, that sounds great. And what's your phone number out there?
It is 505-245-2137.
All right. And then other than that, just Google, you guys.
Absolutely.
We'll, you come up.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, you type in nuclear museum, we're there.
Yeah, absolutely. Over there on Eubanks, south of Central, and it's a beautiful facility that you guys have. Yeah, it's really nice, and you're doing a great job in there. And I always do think about that periodic table on the floor. You know, it's really a cool thing to see. I mean, it's huge, and it's laid out there. And as an adult, you can walk in and be like, you know, which one of these do I remember? And,
I know. I did.
And which ones could I never get no matter what?
That would be me too. Right? So, yes.
And we're not alone.
No. Nope.
All right, great. Well, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you.
It was wonderful talking to you. It always is.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you. And check out all the great programs out there at the Nuclear Museum. I just call it the Nuke Museum, and that's a terrible habit I've gotten into. So what's the full title?
The National Museum of Nuclear Science and History.
And we're very lucky to have it right here in New Mexico.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you for listening to Community Talk. See you again next weekend.